you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 47. We're going to look a little bit about joy today. Psalm 47. And those manifestations were pretty darn good.
I was going to say something, but then I don't want to take away from your teaching.
God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Psalm 47. And we're going to start in verse 4. No, wait. We're going to read the whole thing. Sorry. The first one. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. Consider these words. So he said, God with the voice of triumph. And that word triumph can be joy and rejoicing. That's what God wants for his people. For us to not only joy, but to rejoice in what he has given us. For the Lord Most High is terrible.
Ooh.
And actually, terrible means to be revered, to be reverenced. Because he's a great God. He just loves his people. Like he said in manifestation, he doesn't lie to us. He has everything for us so that we can be most blessed. He's just a wonderful, wonderful God. And then all these great things. He shall subdue the people under us and nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he hath loved. He loves the law. He chose our inheritance, our portion, our estate, and what we have in this life is given to us by God. God chose it for us so that we can be blessed, because we're his people. Verse 5 says, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. So we got a God that is totally exalted, totally wants to protect us from the things that the world has to offer, which are not good. They're terrible. You know, not God is not terrible in that sense, but the world is a terrible place, and it must be stopped before it kills somebody. No, but he always wants to take care of it, and he always wants to see that we have his best. But he wants us to have joy and rejoicing in everything he does for us, because he's a great God. In Psalm 28, a few chapters over, in verse 1 we'll start. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent. What is a rock? A rock is what? It's solid, right? And that's what God is to us. He's a solid foundation for his people. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And the pit is not a very good place. The pit is like a prison, like a dungeon, and it's someplace you don't want to be. But where it says silent, be not silent unto me. Be not deaf, not hearing. Not resting, you know. Don't be a God that's resting or not speaking to me. That's what this guy's talking about. But verse 2, it says, hear the voice of my supplications, when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And that word, where is it? I gotta keep reading, sorry. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. They lie. We don't want to be with those people. We want God, in verse 2, it says, hear. We want God to hear us. And you know what? He does hear us. That's what he does. He's not silent. He's not deaf in when we talk to him. In verse 4, it says, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. And that's not desert. It's desert. And the desert means what they deserve. And what they deserve is not good. But what we deserve from God is so much better. And why? Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications, my prayers. So God is blessed hearing our prayers. There's nothing that we can ever ask for God that he's not blessed to do, you know, according to his word, that he's not blessed to do for us. So we should never feel sheepish in going to our wonderful God. There is, again, blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications, my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am what?
Helped.
That's great. He helps us. That word helps means to surround, to protect. And that's what God does for his people. I trusted in him and he helped me. He protected me. He surrounded me with his goodness. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise him. Even if we sing bad, his song will greatly, will I praise him. And then it goes on to say, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance, feed them also and lift them up forever. And that's another thing God does. He saved us, right, when we got born again. He takes care of us every single moment of every day. Feeds us, lifts them up forever. And when God lifts you up, you're lifted up. You have that rock, that foundation that nothing is going to destroy. So we got a great God in that sense. And then that word feed is wonderful because it means the sense to tend to the flock like a shepherd. And then the shepherd, the pastor, takes care of everything for those sheep. He does everything. He shears them, he feeds them, he waters them, he protects them. And that's, you know, great example of what God does for us, even greater than the herdsman. Okay, you know, because God has so much more available for us. So, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Where is it? Therefore, my heart, verse 7, greatly rejoiceth. And that word rejoiceth there is interesting because it means jump for joy. You ever jump for joy for something? I've done a few times in my life. But with God, we can do that every day if we just keep going to him and looking to him for the things in our lives. You know, because he wants us to be a joyful people. The world, not so much. The world wants to sometimes make you happy, which what it really doesn't last. But joy is, remember Dr. Worley used to say, it's an inside job. It's a job that God can do with great ease to help us to be joyful. You can go to Psalm 94. If you want to. Psalm 94. And we're going to start in verse 11. Oh, that was 93. Hold on. Oh, no, I was right. Good. Verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That's not good. we want to line our thoughts up with God. Remember, in Perry said it in his prayer, and John said it in manifestations. God's thoughts are what? Higher than our thoughts. They're better than our thoughts. So we want to do our best to line it up that way. And the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. We don't want to do that. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So blessed is the man that gets God's word in him. And that's what we endeavor to do, you know, every day of our lives and twice on Sunday. Verse 13, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. So the pit is good for the wicked, but not for us. We don't want to do that. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. He's going to keep taking care of us. But judgment shall return unto the righteous, unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, the mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And again, that's what we want. We want for God to be holding us up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy compassion brought me to joy. That word delight means joy. Thy comforts delight my soul, brought me to joy. And I put two different translations together. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolations cheer my soul. That was from the NIV and the ESV. Took the liberty, so hope it's okay. But no matter what, horrible things we go through in this life, God can always comfort us. God can always take care of the things we're going through. You know, the devil wants us to think he can't. The devil wants us to think when we're anxious or, you know, downtrodden or anything that there's no way out. But with God, there's always a way out. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, his word is what comforts us. Our God is what comforts us, not the things of this world. Now you can go to Habakkuk. And I'm told that there's people that say Habakkuk, something like that. No matter what you say, it's in the Bible, so it's good. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 17 through the end, which is three verses. Everybody there? I cheated. I kept my little thingy in there.
That's a section in the Bible, very clean.
You know, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, how do you get Habakkuk? Habakkuk. It's right there, right? Anyway, 1115, if you have the same Bible as me.
604.
There you go.
There you go.
Chapter 3 and verse 17.
Oh, chapter 3. Yes.
Chapter 3. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, excuse me, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So get yourself a stringed instrument, because it's a good thing, I guess. No, but all those things are not good. The fig tree not blossoming, there's no meat, there's no nothing, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Will joy in the God of my salvation, because he's our strength. He's, no matter what happens in those times, he's going to take care of us. If we have no sustenance, he will get it for us. He will always supply for his people. We're going to take a look at a couple of different things here in Acts chapter 5. And this was, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this was right after that wonderful record of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? Scary, but great things happened after that. Starting verse 12. Here we go. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what?
Healed
every one. Because they looked to God. Peter was, you know, doing some wonderful things, speaking about God, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, jealousy, rage. Now, how can that be? You know, these great things happened, and these men were just full of jealousy. They weren't serving the right God. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught.
Imagine that.
We'll go on to verse 40. And then again, this was, apostles Peter and apostles ran into some trouble, and this guy Gamaliel made a little bit of sense because they wanted to kill these guys. But in verse 40, and it says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and threw him another beating, got one more in there, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed and hid in their houses for the rest of their lives. And they departed from the presence of the council, the people that wanted to kill them, destroy them for doing what they were doing, right? The council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They rejoiced because God took care of them. And even though they, they got a little physicalness handed to them, they still did what God wanted them to do. And God, again, took care of them. They departed rejoicing that, again, they knew God and that he would take care of them. In Acts chapter 13, verse 49. This is after Paul's sermon on in Antioch, and verse 48. Let's start in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And they went and hid again. No. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with what?
Joy.
And with the Holy Spirit. They shook it off. From what I saw, they shake violently. They just shook it off, get rid of it. You know, it was a not so great thing, but they shook it off, and then what came next? Joy. delight, calm delight. It wasn't like, you know, the other one, but it was a calm delight. They just shook it off and then went on to the next thing that God would have them to do with great rejoicing. Acts 16, another couple of chapters over. Verse 25, we'll start. This was after they got put in prison. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Just a coincidence, right? Immediately, they prayed, and immediately this happened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." How did Paul know that? Paul was listening to his father. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And that rejoice means, again, jump for joy. Because they spoke God's word to him. They saved his life because, you know, Paul wasn't walking, he would have killed himself. The guy would have killed himself. So that guy was jumping for joy. Exceeding joy, not only just joy, but exceeding joy. In Romans 15. Romans 15, you guys all know where we're going here, verse 13. This is my salutation to all of us and God's. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to abound in everything he has for us. And then just to closing, I'm just going to read it, but in we know Jeremiah 15 verse 6, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and all thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And that's, I mean, that to me is the greatest thing. We can joy in rejoicing that we're even just called by him to do what he would have us to do. So.